This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
You've made it to Friday. Friday morning, April the 8th, 2022. The show, DiPietro and Rothenberg with you right here. As always, 98.7 ESPN. Last night was one of my great sports nights. I had the Rangers with a throttling of the Penguins in control. Felt like the entirety of the game after they scored that goal early stages, second period. I got to watch you and your green outfit up in Bristol. The Mets, late start, but Tyler Megill, just sensational. And away we go here on this Friday morning. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. What a day yesterday, huh? A little bit of everything. A little bit of golf, tossing Tiger. I was in full goalie gear, sweating through my clothes after the third take. Mets with a nice... Well, it's opening day, though, Dave. This is what we do on opening day.
Well, I'd like opening day to kind of extend out through the season to play like that a little bit more.
No? Just keep let's just replicate. Okay, guys, guess what it is today? Yeah. Opening
it's
day again.
Groundhog Day. They wake up every morning, the same song is on the clock radio. All right, guys. Hey, Coach, how are you? Opening day. Let's get going out there.
I'll tell you what, though, man. I mean, give that kid some credit.
Who, Megill?
Yeah, give Megill credit. And then you're dealing with the weather, right? So, like, everyone has, you know, we all know athletes, I talk about this all the time, just being, you know, creatures of habit, right? So, you come expecting to, you know, start your pregame routine and everything else. Obviously, this jitters, it's opening day. And, you know, you're dealing with the weather delay and everything else. And he comes out and he's, I mean, 99? Just right off the bat, 99?
He was channeling his inner Jacob DeGrom.
And then he had that big sequence there in the third inning.
That was huge. That when he struck out Soto was the big, I thought, for me, the biggest step out of the game.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, you're in that scoreless game. It's, you know, first and third, one out. You get Soto, and then you get a grounder, you're out of that inning. And then the Mets find a way. I mean, we get the, how about Robinson Cano, too? And then we go, you know, fifth, sixth, and seventh, we put on, you know, put up the five runs, and then that's it.
Yep, didn't need more than that. But he really was, and we joke around, but Tyler Megill was phenomenal. He really was. Just phenomenal yesterday. And you didn't even know he was going to be in the rotation. And now all of a sudden he gives you that start, he's great. If he could pitch... Forget about, because we all talk about all the time, the top end of that rotation. And I'm not saying you're going to get this, you know, addition of him every time out. But if he can be good, think about what happens if and when this rotation is healthy.
Well, yeah, that's the scary part of this. I mean, that's why you go out and get Bassett and Scherzer. Because, I mean, you had to figure Carrasco, you know, I mean, this is what he's saying, too, with his elbow. He gets that fixed up, so he'll be better. I don't know what's going on with Taiwan Walker in that knee, but he was, I mean, he was an all-star the first half of the season, wore down. Same thing with Megill. Megill actually, I mean, he was really good, and then kind of, you know, he faded towards the end just because he's not used to, you know, pitching
right.
as much
lot,
as
it was
he
a
did.
Lot for him, sure.
But you're going to need all these guys. Shortened spring training. You have the lockout. Shortened spring training. Injuries are going to happen. So, I mean, everybody, pitching depth is going to be really important. And if you got, I mean, you get an effort like that, and I know it's the Washington Nationals, but still, there's a lot that went into that last night. Gives you five, only throws 68 pitches, eight straight, and you pull them just because, I mean, why are we going to press it? But I just think top to bottom, too. Even having, like, just, it just felt right. Like looking at Buck Showalter as the man just felt right. You know what I mean? Like
it's different. It feels different. It almost feels like there's an adult in the room, you know? And I don't know that that's right or not. But every time Rojas would speak last year, I'd be like, oh, God. And the clubhouse was a mess. And this year, it feels different. And I hope that that's the case. And it's one game only. But it feels different. And then you get the Braves losing last night. I know you say it's one game, it's a long season. I get it. But if you said, would you rather win and the Braves lose or vice versa, you'd rather happen what happened and Mets get off to a good start.
Yeah, that's it. Just take care of your business. I mean, and just, you wanted to see a couple different things too, right? Like, I mean, we're all bummed out that Jacob DeGrom, obviously, he's not going to be your opening day starter. And then Scherzer's, I mean, he'll pitch tonight, but still, like, I mean, the hamstring, like, there's some stuff that bothers you. But, I mean, getting a chance to see some of the new additions. How about, all right, quick question. Quick question, because I'll forget it if I don't ask you right now. Who do you think John Winthrop's favorite new Met is?
Favorite new Met? Is there somebody loves Mickey or something?
Starling Marte wearing a Mickey Mouse necklace.
Oh.
Not sure if you saw it.
Mickey style.
Had the Mickey Mouse pennant rocking last night.
I did not see that, really, because I had to set up in my nook.
Oh, in the door jam.
Right. I had to set up in my nook because I had the Rangers on the one TV and then the Mets on the other, the far TV, so I wasn't able to see the up-close kind of paraphernalia the guys were wearing. I didn't realize there was a Mickey Mouse pendant he was wearing last night.
Mickey Mouse pendant. He's a good-looking athlete, too. The fact that he can steal bases, that's huge for us. That's a whole different element.
Huge. This is without Nimmo.
Neck again, but whatever. I'm not going to, no negatives today. McNeil, I mean, that was another one, right? Like, which McNeil are we going to get? Are we going to get, you know, the Jeff McNeil that's just trying to hit home runs, or more like what we saw where he's using, you know, all parts of the field? He did that last night. So there was a lot of positives last night. A lot of positives.
Tons. Bullpen was good. You know who I know you're going to know who worries me, though? Bullpen wise.
Who worries you? Bullpen? Closer wise? Yeah. I mean, are we going straight to the closer?
No, bullpen wise.
Bullpen wise, who scares you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with. Is it May?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He worries me a lot.
A little bit.
A lot. Yeah. I don't have a lot of confidence in him.
Yeah, but I'll tell you who I do have confidence in Buck, and how he handles the bullpen.
I agree with you. Which is interesting, and maybe I'm completely off base here. I was surprised in a 4-run game he brought Diaz into the game.
Well, you want to get him some work, right? I mean, I was listening to, as I sat in stopped traffic on the highway because somebody, the rain. But how he was mentioning it, the way Buck does it, is he has his A staff in the bullpen, and he has his B staff in the bullpen. And when he decides to use the A staff, he sticks to the A staff. And then there are certain times when he uses the B staff. He doesn't like to interweave.
He doesn't like to overlap.
Yeah.
So
that was pretty interesting.
So I want, like, going into the game, he has it differentiated. Like, all right, this is my A, and they're going to get today?
No. It's depending on the situation. It's like depending on what the game's like. If it's a closer game, you're going to obviously go with the A staff. If it's,
right,
you know, you have a, you know, whatever lead, or you're behind by a certain amount of runs, then you'll go with the B staff. I thought it was pretty interesting, though.
That is very interesting. So now, by the way, let's give you a little credit here, because we harp on you and give you a hard time. You're a warrior here. So you're up in Bristol. You left midday yesterday, yes?
I left at 11, yeah.
11 o'clock in the morning. So you got there at 1-ish. Is that fair?
1-ish, yeah. Yeah, right around 1-ish.
Okay. So now you have to prepare for the, what is it, the Point?
The Point, that's correct, yep.
The afternoon show, The Point. Now, I was told, I didn't see it. Actually, in fairness, I was watching baseball and doing all sorts of stuff around the house. But Jeremy Schapp was hosting the show yesterday.
Oh yeah, we got Schappy hosting the show. It was great. First time I ever met him.
Nice guy, right?
Really nice guy.
I met him at the premiere of The Dark Knight, which is a bizarre thought now that they made a 30 for 30 out of that. But yes, I met him at that premiere. Very nice guy.
I gave him a nice line too as we did our demo. And I said, he introduced it, and I said, oh, Jeremy, leave it to me and Hillary. We'll keep you outside the lines for this one.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
That's nice. So you do that show, and then you do the pregame on ESPN Plus, yes?
Yeah, pregame for the Rangers, then pregame for the Hurricanes, then intermissions for both.
Wait a minute. So you like pretend you're doing different games?
No, see, that's what people don't understand when you do this. So we jump on to do the pregame for the Rangers game last night, which was, I mean, Shesterkin was great last night. But I'll ask you that later in the show, because I posed the question last night as to what you'd like to see. So we do the pregame, and then puck drops in the Carolina game at 7:30. So then we, as the Pittsburgh Rangers game is going on, we jump on and do the pregame of that game.
Right.
And then
so
we go.
You're doing a second pregame.
Yeah, and then intermission, then intermission. And so it's then I go first intermission, you guys, first intermission, them, second intermission, second intermission.
So you never have a minute?
No, it's boom, 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 boom.
Right. No, that makes sense. So you're one game, then that ends, then the other game. Now, what happens? Here's the question for you. What happens if there's like a break in the glass and they have to fix it? Takes 15 minutes. Both games catch up. They both go to intermission overlapping.
See, that's a great question. I would imagine that we would probably have done, because we started with the Rangers-Pens, we would do that one, and I bet the broadcast team, whoever was calling the game,
they would actually do the intermission?
Would do the intermission, yeah.
All right, so I didn't realize you were doing anything with the Sabres and the Hurricanes. So you're bouncing all over the place.
You know, and by the way, people are the worst, too. And I get it. Like, you're ride or die with your team. But the Carolina Hurricanes are a team that could very easily come out of the East and be in the Stanley
Cup
Finals.
Tell me they booed them.
No, boom. So I make a point during one of the intermissions because Buffalo's playing good hockey right now. RJ will attest this. They're good hockey. But they're not a good team yet. Like, they're playing good, but they're young. They're in it. Like, they make stupid plays, which is, you know, if you're trying to be a good team, you have to avoid. So I make a point, like, this is what teams that aren't very good do. They put pucks in the middle, turn it over, and it ends up in the back of your net. I'm getting, like, a nasty tweet. Did you see what Buffalo did against this team? I'm like, I don't care. They're not good. Have you seen how many wins they have?
Yeah, no, they're
savages.
They're on the up and coming, you know, train, but they're not good yet. So you're going all over the place. You're doing pregame, then another pregame, then six intermissions, then postgame, and then it's all wrapped up. Like, you say goodnight to everybody at what point? Steve Levy, Hillary Knight. All right,
he's
guys.
He's the best. He says hi, by the way, Steve.
He doesn't know me.
No, he knows of you, and he said, "See, I told him my schedule," and he's like, "You're crazy, man." And he said, "Make sure you give Dave my best."
Really?
Yes.
That's so nice.
He's a good guy.
He's very nice.
So I wrap up around.
He wants me to have. What does that mean? Have his best?
Well, no, just like he have
like
his
sends,
best.
He sends regards.
Sends regards. Yeah, salutations.
That's very nice. He enjoys the show. Does he listen to the show?
No, he's not up that early. No
he's
chance.
Not up this early.
No, he couldn't believe what time we wake up. He said he tried it once. He used to do. He said before. I didn't even know this before. Before Mike Breen was on Imus, he was. Yeah. And he said he did it for a couple weeks. He just couldn't. His body couldn't adapt to it.
This is not for everybody.
Oh, by the way, guess who else? I'm all over the place right now on a Friday. Bouncy Friday. Who else I saw up in Bristol?
All right. Who else you saw Bristol? Can you give me a sport?
Not a sport. It's a person all of us on the show know very well.
We know him very well.
Oh, it didn't say him.
Oh, we know her very well.
Could be.
Oh, well, okay. Diana, I have been lurking.
Blachowicz.
No. Jan Blachowicz.
Not Blachowicz, nope.
It wasn't Blachowicz, no.
It was not Blachowicz.
All right. So is this person that's not affiliated with the sport?
Not affiliated with a specific sport. Affiliated, obviously, with sports.
Affiliated with sports. Is it an anchor?
Not an anchor, nope.
Not an anchor. Is it? And it's not an analyst, because then they'd be affiliated with the sport. All right.
Maybe has a could potentially have a gambling problem.
Oh, you saw Anita.
I saw Anita.
Okay. That was easy.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I never would have gotten that.
And I have a scooter update.
They found the scooter?
No, they have not found the scooter, nor the guy.
So the guy honestly stole her scooter.
Oh yeah, but and then it turns out this is not the first time this gentleman has done shady things.
Is he not even a handyman at all?
No, he's got like this super long rap sheet of bad stuff that he's done.
So why would this not happen then?
Well, of course it's going to happen.
Anita gets somebody else to call him. Hi, I'm Stephanie. I have, you know, whatever, a refrigerator. It's on the fridge. Can you come fix this? This guy shows up for the fridge. Then they jump him.
A sting operation is what you call it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we set up a sting.
Well, where's that? Let's do that.
All right, maybe we dress up. Maybe we have RJ call him. And then he sees, oh, look, it's just this little guy. I can take advantage of him.
Look, it's a little person. Right?
I'm not a scam guy. Don't scam me.
Listen, we're doing a tiny, The Wizard of Oz. Hey, we're gonna revisit the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, look, it's a tiny little
Munchkins.
It's a tiny little home with tiny little appliances. This won't take me that long.
That was a great insult. It only took 8 seconds to deliver the punchline.
You know what? I'm tired. I was up late.
Hey, but at least there was talking for the 8 seconds, RJ. That's a win, all
right? That's right. Even if you just start mumbling on yourself, that beats dead air.
For example, you trade for Anthony Davis when you already have LeBron in place.
Ugh. I don't know.
I wasn't even listening. I checked out.
I didn't know what to say.
There was nothing to say. I screwed the pooch there on that one.
Yeah, that was not great. All right, so let's finish your day, and then we'll break, come back, and get more into the Mets. 800-919-3776. You said goodbye to Levy at what time?
We're out of there probably. I'm leaving 10:30. 10:30-ish.
So you get into the car, and it's now pouring rain.
It's monsooning. Yep, I got
pouring
I got
rain. I had that
bag.
The dogs out. They were terrified to go outside last night. Come back in, pouring rain, and you then pull up into your palatial driveway in the state at what time?
Right around 1:15-ish.
1:15-ish. Now, how does it work? Do you now have to shower and go to bed? Do you just pop into bed? Do you lie on the couch and get a little bit of rest? How does it work?
No, shower.
Shower.
Shower. I had to shower. And then closed my eyes for a minute, then woke up, and...
And here we are. All right, we're gonna do the best we can to get you to 8 o'clock, and I'm hoping there's a nap on the other side for you.
I'm just letting you know right now, what is it, 5:16?
Yeah.
This could be... I'm at that stage where this could be a wild show.
Good.
I'm not sure what I'll say. I'm not sure what I'll do.
Good.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you got to listen to the probably just about the entire Mets game, right? Or at least the last 4 or 5 innings of the game on the way home. That's nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I enjoy listening to baseball on the radio.
It is by far away the best sport on the radio.
Yeah, like I... obviously like to watch it, but it's the one sport when I watch it on the radio that I don't feel like I'm missing as much.
When you watch it on the radio, huh?
And then I got Howie, too. You know what I mean? Listening to Howie's the best.
He's excellent. Now, listen, Don is great, but listening, you can't kind of envision what's happening. Hockey's too fast.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, I mean, I listen to all of it. I mean, I listen to football, listen to hockey, all of it, but it just baseball is the one where it's like, okay, I don't feel like I have to rush home to go turn it on.
You can consume and enjoy baseball on the radio. I could not agree with you more. 1-800-919-3776. So 5 shutout innings, and he got a big jam in the third. Tyler McGill, what were you? Were you in fact more excited than you kind of let on last night?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I was excited, definitely. But for the most part, I felt very relaxed. Like I said, ready to go, and just wanted to go out there and get the ball rolling for the team.
How is that possible that he was relaxed going into that game? And he really did seem to be.
Yeah, he did, and I think that's, again, that's what allows you to go out there in a situation like that and be as composed as he is. Some guys are just built that way, man. Some guys just have that kind of personality where nothing seems to faze them. I'm sure there was some probably, like, anxiousness. Maybe, I mean, because you're excited, too. Like, there's an element where, I mean, you're excited. You can't wait to get out there. But he's able to kind of slow things down and not be overwhelmed by it.
Well, good for him. If he can give you a good season, not great, a good season. This pitching staff, if DeGrom comes back, will be lethal.
Yeah, but
lethal.
But it's not even just that. Like, yeah, I mean, obviously, we hope that he has, and that he can that it starts and it starts off the way it just started, and he can carry through the entirety of the season. Like, he doesn't start to wear down. But I mean, the most important thing, when I think we both feel this way, is obviously going to be the health of. Especially the top three in this rotation. So you're going to need to, all these guys are going to have to contribute at some point.
Absolutely, all they will. Them. Absolutely, they will. Let's go to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. John in the car. Good morning, John. Lead us off on this Friday.
Hey, what's up? So
McGill was great to watch, looked like a pro. You're talking about channeling DeGrom, though, and I hate that I even thought about this, but I couldn't help myself praying, like, please don't let this mess with your arm if you're pumping 98, 99 after 94, 95 last year, where he was also kind of gassed down the stretch of the season. So I'm wondering if you guys had that same thought creep in. And also, real quick, Rick, you got scoffed at for your Tyler O'Neill comment, and look at him.
So, I wasn't going to mention it. I was going to wait because I know the company has my back.
Yeah, scoffed. You were. Of course.
Ridiculed.
Of course. All right, let you know, should we revisit it every day? Do like a Tyler O'Neill update?
It just so happens that I have the box score up right now.
Of course. What a surprise. If the Giants had played last night, you would have had their box score up right now.
Oh, I wouldn't even be paying attention right now. I'd be ensconced by the...
Yeah, you'd be deep in Alex Wood conversation in your own head.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill, no big deal. 2 for 3, 5 RBIs.
Great.
Home run, 5 RBIs.
He's the front runner for the MVP, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying he's the front runner. I'm just saying I shouldn't have been laughed at. I just said, hey, you know what, Dave? Yeah, I mean, you once used to place bets on the WNBA All-Star Game. Maybe if you had a couple bucks hanging around, you might want to throw it on my guy Tyler O'Neill.
That's not who I am anymore. I'm not that guy anymore that I'm going to start. And I was never that kind of a gambler where I would bet on things that would happen 6 months from now.
Hey, you were trying to take action on the show. You're not that kind of guy. What do you want to bet? What are the odds?
That was for fun show purposes. I'm telling you.
Yeah, like the worm from Rounders is what you are.
When he was not a nice character.
I can imagine that's how I imagine. Not to that extent.
He was imprisoned.
Well, yeah, but that not to that level is what I'm saying. But I'm saying that kind of was looking for that kind of action. I mean, you were going to underground casinos and stuff. Let's not pretend like that didn't happen.
I went once to an underground casino. I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
You know
Teddy KGB's place in Rounders?
You were there.
No, I was never at a place that nice. That place was nice.
Dude, you had the World Series of Dice going on in the back of the Dunkin' Donuts you worked at.
Were you kidding? We used to play a Chinese poker.
Yeah, well, same thing. I mean,
You
had some tendencies.
Listen, all I'm saying is when I was in the heat of it, you know, gambling, never once did I make a wager. Never once did I think about making a wager, which would have the result in 6 months from then.
This is why you avoid the city. There's probably juice running somewhere.
No, there's no juice running anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I never know with you.
You really are off the rails today, huh?
I'm off, right off.
I don't even think when I was gambling that you could have placed a wager that would be scored in 6 months.
I don't know the places you went to.
I'm telling you, it's not like it is now.
The slot machines are for losers.
Where everyone just, what wager did you place? Oh, I had this wager. No, it was underground. It was dirty. It was seedy. Have you heard of the mole people?
And you loved every second of it.
Oh, it was fun.
Look at you now, though. Almost 50, 2 kids, mature.
I am mature.
Sitting in your beautiful home that has 1 TV and 2 different rooms in the door jam of your house.
Right under the beam. I can position myself right under the beam and watch both games. It's funny.
In an uncomfortable kitchen chair. That sounds
very
terrible.
Uncomfortable. Not good for the back. All right, let's hear. We haven't heard this yet. Cool. Mets manager Buck Showalter. That sounds nice. Here he is. Tyler McGill was unfazed. Talked to him about the Masters before the game.
No, he was talking to me about something with the Masters. You know, I walked through to tell people about different start times, and he was looked at me like, okay. And then is Tiger 1 under or something? He said he was 1 under, right?
Yeah.
So I guess he was watching.
So how great is that? I mean, really, he says he wasn't, you know, phased from the game. He really wasn't. Like, it was just business as usual for Tyler McGill last night.
Yeah, and that's how he chooses to get ready. I mean, he tries to, you know, take his mind off of it. Talk, obviously, paying attention to other things going on. Good for him. That works for him.
Good for him, good for us, good for everybody.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it really is amazing. Like, when you get into a chance to... They'll throughout your career play with so many different guys and to see how each guy prepares for a game. Like you have a guy like, you know, Tyler McGill who's just, I mean, he's loose, doesn't realize the, you know, how big the moment is. It's opening day, man. I mean, you're pitching, Jacob DeGrom was supposed to start this game. You're pitching, and dealing with weather and everything else. No big deal. Watch the Masters. How's Tiger doing? I want to chop it up. And then, you know, I played with guys who would puke before games. Like, would have to puke before they went on the ice because they were so nervous going into it.
A regular season, like 80?
Every game.
80th game? Really? Just they would vomit every game?
Every single game.
So there were guys that would vomit every single game?
Every game.
Wow.
Yeah, there was just, they had that much nervous energy. I know, but again, like that's why, like, during the courses of these seasons, like, baseball's 162. The NHL's 82 games. Like, physically you start to wear down. Like, everyone's got, you know, something that's sore or whatever, but it's the mental part of it. It's like every single day you show up.
That's got to be exhausting to show up every other night and know that you're going to throw up as you pull into the arena.
Yeah, because you're getting yourself that worked up. Like, you're trying to get yourself to that level every single night.
Yeah, that's a lot. It really is.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
You said goodbye to Levy at what time?
10:30.
Pouring rain. And you then pull up into your palatial driveway in the state at what time?
1:15-ish. You should have invited me to your house. I could have slept over your house.
I invited you to my house.
Could have went to Citi Field because it's closer.
But there's no game there today.
Well, how about the D.C.? You're close to D.C.
Very close to D.C.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I think Ron Jeremy steps up to the plate right now. You bring him back into action,
Ron Jeremy's
no problem.
In jail.
Maybe that was a bad example.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get down to business.
Big 6 o'clock hour, DPHRO Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Ron Jeremy is not only imprisoned, 34 counts of sexual assault involving 21 complaining witnesses. Apparently, he's completely incoherent, and his current case has been suspended over his mental health.
Yeah, I was hoping we would just kind of just get past this.
Well, I would have expected if he would have not been in the open. Once he was put in the open and I said, I think he's in jail, I know everyone is clamoring, well, what's happened to Ron Jeremy? That's where we are with this guy.
It's amazing because I'm sitting here explaining to Santiago that I wish I didn't say that. And I was like, I had another name I was going to go with. That was a mistake. And then maybe we just kind of, you know, get past it, not start the 6 o'clock hour with it.
Nope, they got it ready to go. Yeah. They're facilitating the greatness of the show.
Well done, RJ. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, you call him little every chance you get.
Oh, don't even start. You're worse than I am.
No.
You're the ringleader.
Until you got into the conversation, I thought RJ was full-sized. I didn't even realize.
No, he's like those little candy bars you get at Halloween. Like, you want the big one.
Like the bite-sized little nuggets
you
get? Yes,
the one-timers.
See, this is you. You perpetuate this, and then I join in on the frivolity, and now I'm the bad guy.
No, you wind me up, and then you let me go, and then I get blamed for it.
RJ, who do you think is the ringleader of making fun of your height or lack thereof?
It's definitely equal, 100%.
No.
Yep, 50-50, right down the middle.
All right, here's what I would like to do. I would like to have a height challenge. Moving forward, from today through the end of April, I want you to tell us on May 1, who has been the person that has made fun of your height the most, me or Rick.
All right? I will keep track.
Okay.
We're really going to keep a tally of this.
Yes.
This is what we do, yeah. It's more work for RJ. RJ, get one of those clickers.
He doesn't need to do a lot of work. I'm sure he has like an internal clock. He can figure it out on his own.
Doesn't have enough that he has to put up there.
Oh, here we go.
Maybe you should do it, Santi, in between doing Rangers and Knicks and stuff. You take note.
I'm just going to make the list based on what I feel. I'm not going to keep track
at
all.
That's what I'm saying. So. Just keep track internally. No. Every time someone takes a shot or a barb, you know, just make a mental note of who did that. And then when we get to the end of April, tell us who won the contest.
Okay, you may not like what you hear, but...
I'm not taking any shots at RJ's height at all.
I feel
all
comfortable
going to
win this one.
Till May.
You got Santi judging this one? I feel good. I say what I want. Santi's still going to say you said
no. See, you don't know Raymond the way I know
him. I know Raymond.
I think Raymond is a man of ethics. And even if he doesn't care for me, he will judge this contest very fairly.
It's just not for Ray.
That I believe.
Let's not forget either. I mean, I played it for you yesterday. RJ did wish that your dog pooped on your pillow. I'm just saying.
That's not very nice. Very mean-spirited. All right. So, Yankees open today. Now, I will say this. As excited as I was for the Mets last night, hadn't seen them in months, did not feel like opening day. It didn't. Game's supposed to be played at 4 o'clock. Then it's supposed to be played at 7 o'clock. And they finally throw the first pitch in a soggy field in Washington at almost 8:30. That to me is not an opening day. What the Yankees have today, 1 o'clock, sun's going to be out, Yankee Stadium, Gerrit Cole on the mound, that's an opening day.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I mean, you didn't even know the game got changed till yesterday when I told you.
Thank God you told me.
And then it gets delayed with the weather
network
stuff.
At 4 o'clock.
See, but that's the bad part of this time of the year, first month of the season. Just with the weather, you never know. I mean, with the weather, when games are going to get delayed, canceled. I can't imagine it's comfortable playing in weather like this for the players.
I watched a bunch of a few different games yesterday. I watched Cleveland, Kansas City. I watched a little of the Cubs and who did the Cubs play? The Brewers, Mets, Nationals. The weather was awful. Like, how are you supposed to hit the baseball in that kind of weather?
Yeah, hit the baseball, throw the baseball. I mean, when it's cold, have you ever tried to throw a baseball? What it feels like in your hand? Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not what you want, right? I mean, you're trying to. It's the season starting. You're trying to get off to a good start, and you're dealing with, crappy weather. That's not what you want.
And we started a week later.
I think that's part of it too. That we started a week. This is, and there was so much going on yesterday.
It was a very busy day. It almost feel like the start of baseball was kind of swallowed up by the Masters yesterday, didn't it?
A little bit. I mean, and then you had the Rangers and everything else going on. If the game had started at 4, I think you would have felt different about it.
I agree with you.
Because you would have watched
it. They couldn't start at 4. I understand the weather got in the way of being able to start it at 4. But starting your opening day at 8, when you have to think as a fan of, I'm not going to be able to watch the whole game because it's just going to go too late for me, that stinks.
Yeah, I mean, because you can say what you want. I mean, there's a certain amount of excitement for opening day, especially we haven't seen these guys. I mean, I was excited to see what Tyler McGill was going to look like, what Cano was going to look like. You've added all these new pieces. Marte, Canna,
exciting
time. They
all did well yesterday, too.
Yeah, they did. I was surprised that Canna was in center, but I get it.
When Nimmo returns, where does he play, you think?
Well, I think Nimmo's going to be in center.
So Nimmo will be your center fielder. Canna's going to move to left?
To left. You'll have Marte for now and right.
So then what, McNeil becomes the odd man out, or he splits time, or he DHs a little bit, or how does that work then?
Well, I think you'd put him at second, right? And then Cano will DH?
Probably. Cano's range is it's troubling.
It's gone, yeah.
it's really troubling. All right, so Yankees today, 1 o'clock, the YES Network pregame show. I think it started. I think they're well
underway. I think it's on
right now. Yeah, I think they're well underway. So Aaron Boone, as we know, is going to be on the Michael Kay Show every week, all baseball season long. And he had some interesting answers yesterday with the guys. Here's Aaron Boone, expectations for Gerrit Cole in the opener today.
I mean, he's certainly not built up, obviously, to where he will be in a few times. We could definitely get more than 70 out of him. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, not much more. I have a number in mind that I probably won't let him go to. We'll just kind of see. We'll see, how stressful everything is for him from an outing standpoint, and then kind of have some leeway within that number that I'm thinking.
So what are you thinking? Max of 80 today for Cole?
No, I don't. I don't even know if it's 80. I don't even know if it's 80.
You don't think they let him get there, huh?
Well, it didn't sound like it.
Well, he said 70-ish, but maybe they push him to 80. So you're not going to get more. I mean, like a good start for him would be 5 innings today.
Yeah. I would say that's about right. Again, this is a marathon, man. You have had a condensed spring training. You already have questions once you get past Gerrit Cole. The last thing you want to do is start pushing him too early in the season.
No, because you're going to need this guy to give you. I mean, if you're the Yankees and you get where you want to get to, how many innings realistically do you think you need from Gerrit Cole? 250?
A lot, yeah.
Right? That's a lot of
innings.
You don't
want him to make all the starts.
No, so you don't want to start pushing him on April the 8th.
No, and you got plenty of arms in the bullpen too. And you want those guys to get work. So there's no reason to start pushing it now.
You think Yankee fans kind of has a nervous breakdown if they lose today?
I wouldn't say full-on nervous breakdown, but there would be some we'll take some angry phone calls on Monday.
Yankees go 1-2 this weekend. What do you think the fan base is like on Monday?
Oh, they're
incensed?
Yeah.
Speaking of this division and the Yankees and what they need to do, here is Boone on the K-Show on so many of the experts picking Toronto this season.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the same thing. So, you know, I was joking. I said, it looks like we're all playing for second this year, you know. No, but with that said, there's no denying that they are a really good team. I mean, we saw them sort of come of age last year, even though they just missed the playoffs. It's obviously a lineup that, you know, is as formidable as anyone we're going to go up against. It's a starting rotation that top to bottom is very solid. I mean, I understand certainly, you know, people out there that, you know, have to do this at the beginning of the season, put your picks in. I get it.
Well, they're a terrific team. I don't know that they have a lot of weakness, maybe the bullpen a little bit, but something that we haven't talked about a lot, Rick, here is Buster Olney on Greeny. Why the Blue Jays will have such an advantage at home?
They're going to have a competitive advantage because of Canada's vaccine mandate.
Yep.
There are players on every team, it seems, that are going to be going up north who have guys who are not vaccinated. They're not going to be allowed to go in there and play. We don't know sort of how team dynamics work. If you're a fringe player, you're getting vaccinated. So if teams are missing players, unvaccinated players in those series, they're going to be major stars. And that is going to be a competitive advantage for the Blue Jays, who have every single player vaccinated.
It's going to be a big deal. When the Yankees go to Toronto, those games are going to be magnified regardless. And then they're going to go without some of their big-time players? That's a big deal.
Of course it's a big deal. And Buster's right. It's absolutely a competitive advantage. You're seeing that right now with the NBA. Like, I mean, there was some talk, you know, with the Celtics and the Sixers. What would happen, once they have to go to Toronto? And then no one was saying anything. And then you find out, I mean, you see the story or the designation for Thibault. He was ineligible to play.
Right.
Up in Toronto.
Right. I'm looking at the schedule. So I guess they play the Blue Jays next week. Wow, that's a big series. I didn't even realize this. Did you? Monday through Thursday of 3 days away, Yankees Blue Jays for four at the stadium.
Yep.
This is a serious first seven games right out of the gate for the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know if it's great for us that they're opening up with the Red Sox and then the Blue Jays, but I don't know if that would
So they go to Toronto. Could you imagine if the Yankees have a mediocre month? We get to the end of April and they're, I don't know, four games back in 500, say, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility, right? And then Monday, May 2nd, for three games, they go to Toronto. And if they go without some of their big-time players, people will have a meltdown.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you saw that with Kyrie. Right? I mean, this is a team that the Yankees fan base expects this team to compete for a World Series.
Absolutely, they do.
And if all of a sudden now, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, guys that aren't vaccinated that can't play against, you know, a team that everyone's picking to be the team out of the East. And you're talking about big time players and you go up to Toronto and you get beat up because you don't have your best players available.
And then I guess since it kind of outs those guys too, right? Like then you're going to have your answer of who is not vaccinated.
Yeah. Not kind of. It does.
Right. So you're now outed. So now you are like the poster child of I'm not vaccinated.
Yeah, now you'll be the one that, if things don't go well,
is going to get blamed.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're a selfish player.
That's how they'll look at it.
Right? A lot of people will. Yankees lost. They got swept in, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Gerrit Cole can't go and pitch in that. Maybe Aaron Judge can't go up there and play in those games.
Well, Aaron Judge was the one, right? That was the one that everyone
was
concerned
about. Well, that was the one because he wouldn't talk
about
it. Yes. Yeah. So it does kind of feel like that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The top of the morning rush.
This is why I'm hot. Is the morning roast.
Top of the morning. All right, time for the top of the morning roast brought to you by Jackpocket. RJ, do you have a roast?
I do. You want to start with me?
No, I don't. I just want to get a feel of where we're at. Raymond, do you have a roast?
I think I've got one, sure.
Okay, so that's where we are. And I know Rick, as always, has one. Do you believe that I will be the brunt of the roasted today? Or you think people will lay off me today?
No, I think you're fine. You haven't done anything today.
I never know. All right, let's start with Tim in Tom's River. Tim, roast away. Good morning,
guys. How are you?
We're doing really well, Tim. What would you like to roast about?
I would like to roast all the TV producers for putting all the national championship games on at 9 o'clock at night. I can't stay up. I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning, just like you guys, the next day. I'm sick and tired of watching the highlights at 4:30 on YouTube. Thank God for hockey. I got to watch a whole game, an excellent Ranger-Penguin game, in its entirety, and still went to bed before 10 o'clock. I'm done with it. Stop pandering to the West Coast. East Coast people can't do anything because it's freezing cold except sit inside and watch TV.
That's a roast. Very well done, Tim. And he's right.
I don't disagree with
Tim. No. I mean, the national championship started at 9:23 the other night.
Well, I mean, it almost your house had a full-blown meltdown because of that.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the masses. You can't start these games at 9. The game ended at 11:45.
I'm sure you're not the only one that had that conversation with their kid. Like, hey, Dad, I want to stay up and watch the national championship game. And they were like, no, it's not. It doesn't start till almost 9:30. You got school tomorrow.
You're 11 years old. You can't stay up till that time. It's too late. It's too late for us.
Yeah, I hate it. Give me that 7 o'clock start. Boom, we're done.
It's just too late. All right, let's go down to North Carolina and bring in member of the company. Here is Rich. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Dave, Rick, RJ, and Ray, and to the company. I want to give the Nationals a roast. The Mets game last night, you know, watch it on Plus, supporting ESPN. Start 4, start 7. Then they do this ridiculous opening ceremony. Who cares who the umpire room attendant is, the visiting locker room attendant is, the janitor is? I don't care. And then they give a tribute to Scherzer. Why don't they wait till today when he pitched? It was ridiculous yesterday.
Went on forever. But here's the thing I will say to counteract that. I don't know that the field would have been ready anywhere before 8:20. Like, I don't think the game started later because of all those introductions.
Yeah, but it was a lot. It was nice, but it was a lot.
It certainly was. But he's right. I mean, and no disrespect, but do we need to know every single player within the organization?
I liked it.
No, you did not.
I want to know everybody.
Tell me about the locker room attendance, because you
wait
care
till
about that.
You should have seen me with the Giants. I was every guy.
I'm sure we can quiz you on that. You'll know it all the way through. All right, RJ, why don't you go ahead with your morning roast?
So this is an actual ESPN on ESPN roast here.
Oh, no.
Do you remember when Jeff Passan, the day baseball return, got hacked?
Yes.
So I've come to find out why. And when you hear why, this is from ESPN Daily, the podcast. You'll understand why he's my choice.
I get a message on my phone, a text message that says, we've had unusual activity detected in India, and we need you to go and get a specific passcode. And I'm like, well, I have two-factor authentication, and this is the second factor. And the next message I get from this number says, yo, hacked by Instagram @, and then he puts the handle in there. And he proceeds to follow up, let Twitter know who ran that page, bitch.
He gave out his password?
That's what it sounds like. He got the, he fell for it.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Passan.
That's brutal.
It's a big moment for him, too.
That was the biggest day, and he got hacked, and he was almost self-hacked.
I respect the guy going at him not once but twice.
Right. He not only did he hack him, then he danced on the grave.
That's big time right there.
Yeah, that's well done by him. All right, let's continue with the callers now on the morning roast. Cullum in the Bronx. Here we go. What did we do now, Cullum, that you need to roast us?
I mean, what did you guys do to me yesterday? You completely checked out. You didn't listen to a word I said. It was so disrespectful.
No, no. Cullum, not true.
What?
Now, I heard everything you said. I was listening intently. I thought Rick was going to answer the question. I thought Rick was going to answer the question, so I laid back so he could answer it. He was not paying any attention to you whatsoever.
What were you doing?
I was reading about the San Francisco Giants.
He decided to San Francisco Giants? You're in New York radio, and you're sitting on your job right now. Why are you looking up San Francisco Giants? No one on planet Earth listening to this cares about San Francisco Giants.
Oh, dare you, Cullum.
And do it well.
Well, ask better questions, all right? Ask better questions. Intrigue me with your questions. You put me to sleep, damn it.
Wow. So, Cullum, I should get an apology there, because I was listening to everything he said.
Oh, you didn't, but yeah, you could have answered the question. It
wasn't
well,
I was waiting
question.
For you. I want no, you to be involved.
You were sabotaging me as well.
So now I'm a saboteur?
Saboteur.
Oh, I'm not a saboteur. How dare you? You know who could be a saboteur? Let's go to Raymond. Raymond,
oh,
you have
Santiago.
Have a roast on this Friday morning?
Very dramatic pause there, Dave. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I've actually got some other ESPN on ESPN crime. But
it's
sort of going higher up. Because, listen, I thought Wednesday night was a great concept, great idea, 75th anniversary of the NBA broadcast, right? All great. Great idea. Get the yellow jackets on Breen and Jeff Van Gundy. So, as I've discussed with you guys off air numerous times since that time, it was a hassle. There were 7 broadcasts at the Garden on Wednesday. Today, MSG with Ed Cohen and Walt Frazier. Yes, Ian Eagle, Sarah Kustak. ESPN had 2 broadcasts, Ryan Rucco and Hubie. Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Jax. ESPN Radio had Mark Kestisher and PJ Carlissimo. MSG, which was my broadcast, Pat O'Keefe and Brendan
Brown.
You need
to go through every
broadcast. Yes, I'm going through all of it. And Nets Radio with Chris Carino and Tim Capstraw. Yeah. So, listen, again, great concept. I just wish there was a little bit more planning with it, and I had a very long night because of it. And at the end of the day, my question is, why did it have to be Knicks Nets? It wasn't something that looked to be planned from the beginning of this from the season. Like, it looked like it all came together in the last 2 weeks. The Knicks have been, you know, long not considered for the playoffs anymore, and the Nets are barely hanging on to the play-in. So why did it have to be that particular game is my question.
Well, that might have been the worst roast in the history of this
wow,
segment.
Okay.
No?
I could always go after
look
you.
Look at that. Rick is sleeping. He put his head back.
All
he's
right,
got like 4 minutes of sleep.
All right, good night. I'll write up a new roast for you, Dave.
Wow. Okay. I love how I'm the bad guy here. RJ, honestly, was that a good roast?
I think it's subjective to him. It made his life miserable.
Oh, God.
Oh, you two are the worst.
You said anything goes in this segment. I was angry about this, and I got it off my chest. I have no regrets about this whatsoever.
First of all, it's a terrible take. It's an awful roast, and then it went on for eons. I mean, and Sarah Kustak, and Tim Capstraw, and Ian Eagle. I mean, you named every broadcaster that has ever covered Ryan
Rucco.
There
was a reason for that.
Brown,
it's to drive the point home that there were a lot of people in the building.
Everyone. I mean, for God's sakes. What an awful job by you.
Okay, you know what? You don't need me for this anymore.
I might not. Frank in Northport. Frank, you're on the morning roast. And I know you'll be better than that.
I want to roast the New York Islanders. They don't make the playoffs this year. They're not gonna. They made it to the semifinals 2 years in a row. They do nothing to improve over the last couple of years to get over that hump to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And my ticket rep tells me that my season tickets are going up in price. Even the Rangers sent a letter to their fans when they messed up, and they took care of their season ticket holders.
What are you talking about? The Rangers sent the letter because they were rebuilding. The Islanders have been to back-to-back semifinal. Game 7.
What a good call.
Right,
that
but
is.
What are we doing this year? You can't raise prices on a team that's not doing anything. And
you have a new arena. You have a new arena.
Come
they had a bad
so
season.
They raised it. They doubled the price for the new arena in 1 year, and we took it. Now we got to do it more, and this team's going nowhere.
What a good call. Thanks, Frank. We appreciate it. What a good, solid call.
I don't disagree. I, as far as the moves they made coming into the season, that did not...
That has not panned out.
No.
No. All right. Why don't you go? And I know you'll be better than that Raymond roast.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because I'm gonna piggyback what Raymond said, and then there's a bunch of other announcers I'd like to name.
Yeah, do you have anybody else? Doris Burke. Mark Kestisher.
No, all right. Short
Stephen A. Smith.
Short and sweet. What are the Yankees doing, man? I mean, what are we doing? Aaron Judge is the face of your franchise. You told every Yankees fan that the reason why we didn't go out and sign Correa or Seager or, you know, Freddie Freeman or trade for Matt Olson is because we don't want to lock ourselves into another long-term deal because we want to take care of Aaron Judge. You're already haggling over how much money you're going to pay him. God forbid that he says a deal doesn't get done, and now you're haggling over arbitration. He wants 21. You said 17. Like, enough is enough. We have wall-to-wall yes coverage today. Probably started already. Let's get the deal done. I don't need to hear Anthony Rizzo talking about, hey, it's only bit. This is what happens. It's business. Is Freddie Freeman still brave? No. Let's put all that aside. Get this guy signed. Get it taken care of. And let's go.
Nice. So that's how you roast. That was roasting 101. Some get it. Some don't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Justin and Rockaway.
The real takeaway is that outrageous suit DiPietro is wearing.
It's the start of Masters, Justin. You got to wear the green jacket, buddy.
I pulled myself a bowl of Lucky Charms when I saw you on the screen.
Heart stars and horseshoes, clovers and blue moons, unicorns, rainbows, and tasty red balloons.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I love me Lucky Charms. They're magically delicious.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Now, I wonder if this song, does this make you weep?
Not weep, but there's some emotion, yeah.
No, there's a lot of emotion with this song.
Fork stuck in the road.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's all I have. She where to go.
See, you can't help yourself. Put like a montage of your kids when they're little to this.
Oh, those are the worst. My wife does that to me all the time.
You just lose it right on the spot. Weep
all
over
the place.
That's
the worst. That's the worst.
Those montages of your kids when they're little, and your kids are still somewhat little. I mean, and then you know where they are now. Forget it.
Or your phone your phone does it for you, and then all of a sudden you see it pop up and you watch it and you start crying.
Where did this come from? Oh, we've computer generated this montage of all your photos. Well, this is sad.
It's going by too fast, David.
It really goes by quickly. But you're going to have another child, so that's nice. You'll start fresh again.
Do not say that.
Just one more.
No.
Why?
I can't, because I can't handle one more right now.
You're doing great, honestly. Really, you have three beautiful, healthy, wonderful children. You have a great wife. You have multiple jobs. Your workday is done at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have nothing but time. I think another child is warranted from you.
I'm going to disagree with that. I appreciate the sentiment, but no. Right now, we have our hands full. We're good.
Okay.
I have a kid that walks around in hockey skates all day long with shin pads and a hockey stick smashing things.
Yeah, but at some point, he's going to outgrow wanting to spend time with you.
He's only 18 months.
Well, the older one.
I mean, he already wants to hang with his buddies.
Yeah, exactly. DPHR Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. A beautiful morning roast outside of what, I'm not going to name names. One person was not great, but that's fine. That's fine. We move along. You mentioned something in your roast, which I think deserves a little more conversation. You said the other day when Beltran had his slip that there's no doubt in your mind this deal gets done with Aaron Judge. We are now 6 hours from the start of the season. Why has it not been announced yet if, in fact, the deal is done?
Well, you're not going to announce it now. If it's done, this wouldn't be if it's not done, of course you wouldn't announce it. But if it's done, you wouldn't do it at 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, I know. So you still stand by that between 9 and 1 today, the deal gets announced with Aaron Judge? Or are you starting to have some reservations that maybe you were wrong?
No, I still believe they're going to get it done.
Okay.
It would make no sense not to get it done. And I don't know why they're playing games. I mean, I mentioned the whole arbitration thing. He wants 21. You want, like, if you're not going to give him an extension, we're not going to. So you're going to go through arbitration during the season? Because that's what you want?
I mean, he's not going to be happy, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just you're trying to win a World Series. Like, let's just get it taken care of.
Yeah, but I don't understand. You didn't go out and spend the money that so many people wanted you to spend, or at least the players.
The way you spent it, yeah.
Right, that you didn't spend it the way people wanted you to spend it. And a lot of the rationale behind that was, well, Aaron Judge, right? We're going to lock onto him, and he's going to be the piece of our future. I don't know that that's the case. I don't feel confident like you do that by 1 o'clock today we find out Aaron Judge signs a long-term deal.
Yeah, unless you don't want to, like, unless this has all been lip service, like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to get it done. Unless he's asking for something that's just outrageous.
Well, what would be outrageous? Like, if he's asking for 7 and 30,
I would imagine.
All right, so if he's asking 7 years, $215 million, is that outrageous?
No. No, especially because you have no, I mean, especially because you have no problem giving, you had no problem giving Gerrit Cole, they give Gerrit Cole a 9-year deal?
Yeah, they're giving Josh Donaldson huge money.
Well, it's not even that, though. They'll make the argument that we don't want to, you know, we don't want to lock into too many years, right? Like, we'd rather 6 years than 7 years.
I get it. I understand that's what you'd prefer, but sometimes you're not in control of everything. What did Jose Ramirez just sign? 5 for $124 million?
Yeah, which I was surprised.
It's a good deal for Cleveland.
Yes.
Very good deal for Cleveland.
That seems a little light for Jose Ramirez.
All right, but there's no reason the Yankees can't go 7 for $210 million. That seems like that's the happy medium, it would feel like to me.
Yeah, somewhere right around there.
And you know what? You know what's going to happen. If this doesn't get done, and this drags out his conversation all season long, Yankee fan, and they don't play well, Yankee fans are going to lose it on this front office.
See that, but again, that's what would frustrate me if I'm Aaron Judge, because, and this is just sports in general, it's like you have whatever the team is, they preach to you how, you know, what we stand for as an organization, and we're all about, you know, developing our own guys, and then if they perform at a certain level, we like to take care of our own guys. Well, prove it to me then. I'm one of the faces. I'm the captain of this team.
He is the face of the franchise.
I'm one of the faces of baseball. Period. I was rookie of the year. I was making second in the MVP voting. I made $500,000. Like, it's time for me to get paid.
And he's homegrown.
That's what I mean. So, like, you can't sit there and preach it, and then have me do all the right things, and then when it's time to get paid, now we're haggling over money or years, and I just see you throw you. No problem giving Gerrit Cole 9 years. I didn't hear anything about that. Or give LeMahieu an extra year. Taking on Stanton's deal.
Yep. I'm your guy, and I'm not going to get paid. It's a bad look. It really is. And again, I don't think it gets done today. Buster only was on Greeny yesterday, and he says, we're not on the verge of this deal getting done.
Now, you guys know how these things can play out. They can change in a heartbeat. You know, the player's perspective can change. The team can suddenly step up and increase their offer. I've wondered all along, is this, these conversations have taken place. Now, the fact that the Mets are spending so much money, Steve Cohen is cost be damned. You know, we're going to spend whatever it takes. How much pressure does that put on Hal Steinbrenner? You know, does that mean in a crucial moment, if they feel like they're within striking distance of a deal, does that make Hal Steinbrenner step up and say yes? Give him that extra, you know, $15, $20 million that puts it over the top.
Now, we talk about $15, $20 million. That's not a one-shot deal. That's spread out over 7 years. So if you talk about an extra $15 million, you're talking about $2 million extra a season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what he means to this team, and the one knock on him has been his health, and Yankees fans, and I'm sure Brian Cashman wanted to see, you know, can he stay, you know, can he give us a year healthy? And that's what he did last year. And when he's healthy, he gives you, I mean, that's what you can expect from him. And I get it. Like, a good business tells you, yeah, I don't want to lock into a long-term deal with a guy who's, you know, who's 30, that's going to be at the end of this. It's not going to feel like it's, you know, it's money well spent. But that's where we're at now. Because there's going to be a team that does it. Like, Chris Bryant just got 7 years, 182. I mean, what are we talking about?
And Chris Bryant is not half the player that Aaron Judge is.
I mean, Freddie Freeman's 32 years old. He gets a 6-year deal for $162 million.
The Yankees are different now. I mean, we say it all the time. This is not what the Yankees were even a few years ago.
No, I know, but again, I keep circling back to this though. Is you keep bringing this on yourself though? Like, they can't help themselves. It's like, you know, when Cashman. I hear people all the time where. You know, someone will call in, it'll be a spoiled Yankees fan, and you can't have the expectation. Like, you're 92 games, you're in the playoffs, you can't expect to win a World Series. There's parity, World Series every year, there's parity and everything else. Okay, that's fine. You're probably right. But when I got a GM tell me that we're interested in winning championships, not a championship, and I haven't been back to the World Series since 2009, I'm going to start to get a little bit frustrated. You set the agenda for me. You set my expectations. Not me. You did it. And then you spent this whole offseason telling me, well, we can't get Correa, and we can't get this guy. We're going to settle for Kiner Falefa at short, and Anthony Rizzo at first, and we're gonna take on $50 million in Josh Donaldson. And the reason we're doing that is because we got to save our money for the big Aaron Judge contract.
Right. And then Manaea gets traded. I'm not in on that. Sounds like you're not in on Montas either. You bring in the Donaldson money. I still don't understand for the life of me why they didn't wind up or at least make an offer to Carlos Correa. So you thought this was all the end game was to keep Aaron Judge. And now we're sitting here in this situation. Now let's take a listen. Anthony Rizzo was asked, have you talked to Judge about these negotiations?
Yeah, I mean, I have. I've talked to him a little bit about it. And at the end of the day, it's what's going to make him and Sam happy. And what his value is and what his worth is extremely high in this game. He's a legitimate MVP candidate every single year. And he knows that. And he's really, really good at this game. And he's really good at how he handles everything. I've admired him from afar for years. I've heard nothing but good things about him. And then I come over last year and meet him. And it's the total package. And, you know, what he brings to this organization from my time being here is something I haven't seen before. But when it comes to the business side of it, we all, there's no secret to, you know, you see Freddie Freeman isn't on the Braves anymore. There's no loyalty in this game. And when you separate that on the business side and you take your heart out of it, that's the tough part.
So that's a tough phrase. There's no loyalty at all in this game anymore.
Well, it's the reality though. But see, that's the other thing that you risk now. If you don't get this thing done, you got guys like Anthony Rizzo in his ear. It's like they just showed you what they think of you. Like everyone else, they want something. They would go out like Gerrit Cole, the same Gerrit Cole. Like all the horrific things that the Astros did to you in 2017 that robbed you of going to a World Series. So you already know there's something going on there. Oh, yeah, we got no problem signing Gerrit Cole for a 9-year deal. No problem. No problem picking up.
And you know the last 3-plus years of that deal are not going to be attractive.
Well, of course not. You give LeMahieu an extra year. He's not a homegrown guy. Yeah, no problem taking on Stan's deal. That's
He's
no
also
big
not
deal.
Half the player that Aaron Judge is.
Okay, but you're just speaking to my point. So I think
because I agree with you.
Everyone's human. So at a certain point, you're going to say enough is enough. Like, if you don't value me here, after I've done everything you've asked me to do, I've performed at an MVP level, I'm the captain of this team, the face of this franchise, and one of the faces of baseball, and I can't get a deal done, then you know what?
I'll pick up and I'll go elsewhere.
I'll go somewhere else.
Yep. You know where he'd look good? The Mets.
I believe some royal blue pinstripes we talking about?
Yeah, with the Mets, they would look pretty, pretty attractive.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.